Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin. Welcome, Per and Christian, to this celebration episode of the past year's 10 episodes that we actually made, all talking about and diving into different parts of enterprise technology. And it's been a real ride. It's been super fun. And you guys, you've been on the show before, right?
Yep. Yes, that's right.
Yeah. And you dared come back, so I guess that's a good
sign. I got this Christmas package, you know, that's why I'm here, you know.
You got a Christmas package too?
Yeah, I haven't opened it, you know, no. So I don't know what it is.
You have
one as well.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, cool.
Amazing. Okay, so obviously, for everyone not looking at this, but just listening, we've all received, apparently, a Christmas package each. And the thing is that normally, you know, I know what the show or episode will be about. But this time it's a kind of a Christmas special where we'll try to, you know, revisit all of the past episodes, apparently with a quiz. So me, Per, and Christian are to team up get a question from a past episode, and then we'll try to figure out the answer, and then the quiz master behind the scenes will give us a score between 10 and 0, and we'll try to get as many points as possible, and obviously discuss the possible answers and the technologies that we
This could be embarrassing. I can feel it's coming. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
It can be very embarrassing, especially for you know, I have the most to lose here, as I've been in every episode, so I should, you know, remember most stuff. But then again, you know, you guys have been the experts in some of the episodes, and so if we miss out on any episode that you've been in, yeah, that's embarrassing. We'll see what happens, right? We'll see what happens. So before the quiz starts, we actually are allowed to open these mystery packages.
The package. Right now.
So let's do that, I guess. Should we go one by one, or just rip it open, you know?
Rip it open.
Like, okay, rip it open. Might be the same stuff inside. I have no idea. Oh, you got a pair of slippers. It's a care package. It's a care package, Christmas style. So Per is showing us a Santa to put Christmas tree.
It says your photo here. Can you just imagine putting my photo there and show it to my kids in the morning?
I do not have that in my package. I have a mini Christmas tree in a can that you're supposed to... Oh, there are seeds and dirt in it. So I was thinking if I should open that right now.
I love this one. Apparently, this is a magical mug, you know, where I think it changes color if you put, it says, whiskey or something in it, or I don't know.
So I don't know if this is a reflection on me or not, but I got a poseable elf. So I don't know.
Amazing. It made a bit creepy. You know, I really appreciate this one from the Quizmaster, Jule Must. Christmas must, a must for Christmas.
Yeah, I had one of those, like a stored Jule Must Christmas.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's basically, it's been in whiskey barrels for 4 years, Swedish oak. Looking forward to this one. Non-alcoholic like soda, Christmas soda for the international audience here.
And I got a pen. I think if you have small kids, I'm probably going to give this to Nico. You can have your kids, you know, rattling this, you know, all Christmas Eve. It's going to drive you crazy.
Yeah, thank you, Per. Thank you. I appreciate that.
I think I'm going to have to wear this.
Yeah, same here. I got an elfish one. And you're Father Christmas.
Yeah, I got the beard as well.
I said that this might be an embarrassing episode. And here we go.
I guess I'm the only one who actually dressed the part beforehand, so...
That is true.
Oh, that's not too bad, you know. I've looked worse. I look worse after, you know, hard gin and tonic evening or something. So it's okay.
Did you guys get a boxing beer?
Deer boxer? No, this was my pen, you know. You remember the one I'm going to give you.
You know, guys, it appears that we are about to celebrate Christmas here together.
Yes.
And together do this quiz. So feel free to open the edibles and drinkables in this care package. And I don't think I'm allowed to light this on fire. I'll put it here just for the... to get the Christmas feeling, and I think it's time for the first question. Let's go.
Hi everybody. In episode 3, Let's Talk Security, Nico asked me the question, what makes a security consultant smile? Can you remember what I said?
Oh, what makes a security consultant smile? My first thought is not much. they can be pretty gloomy and talk about ransomware and, you know, say, oh, this is going to be bad. It is bad and it's going to get worse, you know. So that's a tricky one. I think it might be a trick question. The answer might be never. But Christian, you might have a better idea.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought the security guys were the guys who put no in innovation. So I don't know.
That is kind of harsh.
Okay. You know that we're going to launch security services across, including Norway, next year, and that's not going to work that well, I think. But whatever.
Yeah. I remember
put a smile on when they have a ridiculous procedure for every user to use, and they are fool to actually do it that way. I think that puts a smile on a security guy's face. Say, yes, the whole company is doing a security procedure, you know, which is really unnecessary, but we still do it, you know. So we're not making too many friends here, I think.
Let's save those relationships.
edit everything away.
Honestly, I think, you know, I can't remember exactly what he said, but I guess it has to do something with when security is baked into every stage of your IT, so that everything is compliant, and when people take security people's advice, maybe. Maybe any bells? Any bells?
I think mine and Christian's answer was pretty accurate, weren't it? You know.
I'm
going to get some angry emails after this.
So I'm going to be shut out of the AD forever in the future. Yep.
Okay. So let's go then with our combined answer would be what Per said. And see what Quizmaster says. Let's roll the dice. Ooh, okay, so we have the answer. We have no points at this time.
No points.
Okay, we didn't get any points. The answer is, when people within an organization recognize the importance of cybersecurity, when you can bail a company out of a bad situation and take money away from the threat actors, and educating people around you about how they can protect themselves when it comes to cybersecurity. Okay.
Yeah, that was exciting.
Yeah, it was a good episode, though, and I think I have to revisit that.
It's an excellent episode,
yeah,
it is.
Yeah. All right, here comes question number 2.
Hey everyone, it's Josep. On episode 4 of Let's Talk Data, Nico asked me a very simple question. How can you define AI? What was my answer?
Definition of real AI.
Okay, then we also have to think about what is unreal AI.
Or,
An unreal AI is probably AI that doesn't exist.
I don't know what it... So basically most of it.
Yeah. I think real AI is when you finally get something to work and bring some value to the company or some, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it has to do with machine learning versus and deep learning and stuff like that, and the differences there, and that it's, I guess, neural networks and self-learning has to be in baked into that answer somehow, because today every company talks about having AI in their solutions in one way or another, and it's often it's not what Hoseb calls real AI. It's more of a machine learning algorithm that tries different things mostly, and so I guess machine learning combined with deep learning and actual, you know, learning rather than trying.
I fully stand behind
I'm
that.
Good.
What do you say, Christian?
Yeah. Yeah.
That sounded really clever.
All right.
I love that.
That is our answer. Quizmaster, answer. Real AI is the AI done on GPUs and the machine learning and deep learning done there. And it didn't say what? A point. 1 point.
Yeah, better than none. So I'll back it. Yeah.
Slow clap. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, percentage-wise, you know, from 0 to 1, that's a high percentage improvement, isn't it? That was excellent.
Definitely. Okay.
Oh.
All right. Done on GPUs, what was worth 9 points, apparently. I don't know who's behind this. Okay.
Hi, everyone. Merry Christmas, and welcome to Sunny Glasgow. In episode 5, People, Patching and Fishing, I spoke to Glasgow Caledonian University lecturer Jackie Riley. We spoke about the cyber threats of the future, but can you remember what they were?
Ooh, Hugh and Birch from Proact Security Department. Okay, what was the security threats of the future? I guess it might have to do something with the last question, AI?
Yes, an AI algorithm going crazy in your self-driving car and running over your grandmother.
that was pretty specific.
Yeah.
Are you having any nightmares about that specific thing, Pat?
Yeah.
Exactly. I think the answer is that security threats that involve AI that can actually, you know, test 1,000,000,000,000 things every second with the goal of perhaps, you know, cracking your security systems is the biggest threat of the future.
I don't exactly remember, but I think the actual real threat of the future is the same as it is now. It's us. It's people. It's the social engineering part. It's us. We are mostly the weak part here, right? So that's not going to change with AI or any security tools. We'll still be the weakest link in that equation anyway.
Okay. So my approach was finding the you know, threat that is trying to attack you in the future. But that was interesting that you took the other approach from what's the weakest link in your defense, because that's, you know, equally a threat. Definitely. I mean, I can't argue with that.
So then if you generate all your employees with AI, so they are not really, you know, real people, you know, that should increase your security.
Yeah, so we put everyone in the new metaverse, Zuckerberg's metaverse, and then we'll be all secure, right?
Yeah, that makes me feel. That gives me a nice warm Christmas feeling.
No nightmare vibes on that at all. None.
No. But okay, so AI threats that will spring AI defenses. You know, this arms race that goes on forever. But we don't evolve as fast as our own technology. So, being the weakest link. Humans in combination with that arms race is the biggest threat. Is that our
answer? And I was really gonna add thing. And maybe try to be thinking a bit seriously. I think also all the you know, connected things, whatever they are, you know, the Internet of Things and all these little things around the world, you know, which, you know, temperature sensors or whatever it is, you know, they are entry points that I think is going to be really hard to actually have control over and defend against. So, I mean, your fridge or I have an air humidifier connecting to my Wi-Fi network, you know, and I can actually turn it on and off, you know, on my phone on the 4G network, which I'm not sure how secure that really is, you know. So that opens up all my Wi-Fi and all my home Wi-Fi. I also run some of the proactive business conversations.
So, which is why I've isolated all of those in my home to a separate network entirely. It's not connected to my home network at all. It's a different one.
No, I have separated the network, but not physically, but exactly. Logically.
Okay, so Quizmaster, that is our answer. Okay, we have an answer. Quizmaster says, attacks on operational systems using AI, like water treatment plants, power grids, cars, cars, etc. Yeah,
cars.
You earned 6 points. We earned 6 points, so we're up 7 points now. Amazing.
Hang on, the maximum was 10. I think we should have had 11. I think we were really good combined.
Kind of, yeah.
Especially you two guys. Yeah, okay, whatever.
We didn't mention all those governmental or civilizational important places, I guess.
Hi, everyone. During episode 6, let's talk cloud foundation and automation. I briefly discussed how I named a virtual machine after one of my favorite characters. Who was it?
I know that one. And Christian, you must know it too.
Yeah, I do.
That was your story.
Yeah, it was. it was my story, but he actually did it, so.
Exactly. Pat, do you remember before we answer as a colleague?
I have no idea, but let me have a guess, you know. So Christian's favorite, is this like a cartoon or is it a real person?
No, it's a movie character.
A movie character, okay. I think Jack Sparrow.
That's a good guess. Good guess. Mm-hmm. Good guess. It was actually Mr. Luke Skywalker. And there were points for us, ka-ching.
Yay!
All right, and you guys were demonstrating auto naming on a lot of servers, or something. I think.
Yeah, basically, Rudy did. He named VMs based on an API that had all the Star Wars characters in them.
Right.
So
where we heard had
nice.
Yeah, where we had an argument if that was. You know, beneficial in any way when we talk to automation. Mm-hmm. But
I think we settled on some emotional value and not real value, but yeah.
Yeah. But it demonstrated something there and it did it automatically. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay, actually, we got 10 points for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, good job, guys. Okay.
Wow.
Okay. Okay, here comes the next one.
Hi. In the episode of Let's Talk Data regarding multi-cloud, we discussed the easy and the difficult part of creating a new environment. The easy part is obviously that you can set it up in a matter of clicks and with a credit card. But what was my answer regarding the difficult part? Good luck, Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year.
Thank you, Jens the Cooker.
Part of my team, you know, I think I know this one actually. Your credit card bounces, you know, you have spent too much on Christmas presents, so it doesn't work anymore. That's a problem.
Yeah, that's definitely a problem. But was it that specific problem? I can't remember that. It doesn't ring any bells for me. But it might be that. Could it be, you know, integrating that in your current environment? Project around that?
Yeah, I would think it would be operationalizing it. You have an on-prem, you swipe your credit card somewhere and get something running somewhere else. How do you operationalize that in accordance with what you have on-prem, right? And how do you manage it and how do you secure it and how do you combine the two into something that gives you more than 1+1?
Exactly,
and how do you make the security guys smile? You know
that helps
that,
too.
That could be hard.
Yeah,
yeah, It could also be about, you know, I'm not sure about the context, but, you know, data perhaps, you know, if you have a lot of data that you have in one place, moving it to another place, that could be very time and money consuming. So maybe, I don't know, huge amount of data could be a problem.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have any data, it's not going to be that much fun coming out to the applications, whatever you do.
Unless the environment is a dev environment, maybe.
Yeah.
So generally speaking, I'd say, you know, compliance. How do you make that stay compliant?
Operational, yeah. ideal operational procedures, yeah. Compliance, yeah. Okay, yeah.
We're going with keeping it compliant with your original environment / S. Quizmaster. Oh. What?
No, not even close.
Jesus. What was the answer to that? Okay, the answer to this. Answer. Maintaining the environment, keeping it under control, and doing it all securely. Wasn't that...
Well, I think that was what Christian was saying, really. You know, so I think that was a bit unfair from the judge.
I heard
whatever.
A point sound there. I heard a...
Okay.
I think we had someone was trigger happy on the 0 points buzz sound. We got 9 points for that, actually. Yeah. Good stuff. Man, we're flying here.
I think I should turn my cloud light on now. Then there we go.
Cloud light.
Ho ho ho, everyone! I've got a bonus question for you. Over the last year, I have featured in some product movies with a somewhat different look. Can you describe the hairstyle and beard that I had in the Let's Talk Multicloud episode? Good luck.
Wow, hairstyle. That's a non-technical question. That's not okay.
Well, I can think about, you know, he's growing a bigger and bigger beard, but hairstyle.
Yeah, exactly. He had a long beard. A nice long beard, like a high five, yeah. Kudos. That's a great beard, Jens. Why did you shave it, beard? Yeah. But hairstyle, like he didn't go with my hairstyle. So
I don't know. I've been in a few meetings with Jens the last year, and it's kind of been different each time.
Maybe he's discovering himself.
Yeah, I think he might have gone for the, I mean, he is from you know, Belgium, so it's got to be the Tintin look, you know, the Tintin hairstyle, you know, something like that, I'm sure.
But wasn't it kind of back, he was going for the beard and having it kind of combing it backwards.
I think so.
I think he did. He looked pretty cool at that time. Yeah, almost dangerous. Yeah, let's go with that then.
It might be when he was auditioning to be a Bond villain or something like that.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah,
let's go with that. Yeah. All right. Answer. Jens' beard is conservatively symmetrical, young, scanty, with a fully grizzled complexion. Mature, but with a cheesy hint of youth. Cheeky, sorry.
Cheesy.
Cheeky. And that was the beard. Jens' slick back, wavy hair looks playful, yet rugged, with a flyaway finish that shines in the sunlight and says, I mean business.
Okay, so someone in marketing has to be involved here.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know. 8 points!
Ooh.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, and Jens is the villain in the PET team, that's for sure. You know, when he has the, you know, when he has this backdrop here, you know, and then it's getting serious. Good.
Amazing stuff. Okay, next question. Well, who's that?
Hi all. In episode 8, Next Generation Networking, I described the network hero trap. What is this, and how can it be avoided? This is me trying to look like a hero. Happy Christmas.
All right, Mr. Clint Eastwood. Yeah. Was it Damian Murphy, maybe? I'm not sure.
Yeah, that sounded like Damian. our own little movie star in the PNT yeah. team.
Okay, so the network hero trap, and how can it be avoided?
I think it is. You know, the networking guys, when they get excited about some technical networking thing, they have a tendency of throwing the switch out the window when they have too much Julmust. So that could be it. You know, they will ruin the whole data center by throwing things out the window. That happens. Right. It happens a lot.
That sounds actually pretty good. Could be that, or if I'm trying to dig deep now in my memory, could it be something with only having one network person that has kind of homebrewn solutions for stuff, and so when
and everything through command line, and nothing is documented, right.
Single point of failure from a human perspective in when it comes to network management that is obviously bad and nothing is documented, and someone that network hero has made sure he won't or she won't be fired in any way, but it's not very
so.
Yeah, and add to that, no social skills, never respond to phone calls or emails, you really have to go down on your knees and beg for them to change the firewall rules or whatever.
Right.
That is the true networking here, isn't it?
Yes. Christian, you had something there.
Yeah, well, I'm just thinking we're making friends all over the place right now, so that's good.
We're not saying networking people are bad, we're saying the network heroes situation is bad.
Generally trying to make yourself indisposable is a bad career move anyway. So, but yeah, there's a lot of those around.
Yeah. Okay. How can it be avoided? Probably by buying and investing in, better solutions that standardize your software-defined network layer.
Standardizing,
automating, and simplifying networking management operations.
Yeah, that is our question.
And avoid the single point of failure or the single point of hero.
Yes.
Okay, that is our answer. Yes.
See what happens. Oh, good job! Answer. Companies become really dependent on the network engineers, and if this person isn't there to troubleshoot any network problems, you can have a real problem. It's important to realize that this one person may not always be available. This trap can be avoided by looking at what skills an organization needs to manage its network and overall simplifying management. All right, 10 points.
Oh,
amazing, guys.
Yes. Yeah, that was great.
All right. Good stuff, good stuff.
Well, the weather's changing. And back in episode 10, on Backup and Ransomware, I said that ransomware is changing and becoming more sophisticated. In what way is ransomware different now than it was in the past?
Oh, Tony Gent. Tony Gent. In what way is ransomware different now than it was in the past? It goes for your backups.
My understanding, and Tony and Tim and more are certainly the expert, but it becomes also very specific. It's not like you are attacking everyone around the world. You are attacking very specific targets, and I think to your point, Nicholas, they take some time and they delete the backups or your secondary site, so they are kind of hiding behind the scenes, so they don't just go in there and ruin everything and then you can restore it. So they are big. So I'm not sure about the underlying technology changing, but I think the methodology is becoming more clever or scary, whatever you want to call it, would be my guess.
I think you're right.
Yeah. The need for isolating your backups from your production environment is really something that's come to the forefront of the last year as well, because as you said, the malware or the ransomware or whatever goes in and encrypts your backup before it starts encrypting your network, so to ensure that you're not able to restore from it. So doing that differentiation between production and backup and doing stop doing error gap backup solutions is one of the things that we need to be doing to ensure that we are actually able to recover from this.
So here we see the combination of, and I think Tony was in the episode, I think with Tim, you know, we see the combination of, let's say, what most people think about security, but that combination, you know, with backup and disaster recovery, which, you know, we have been doing forever, you know, that combination can be quite powerful, actually, and probably needed. You shouldn't do one without the other.
Right.
But that was not our answer. Our answer was earlier, you know, so we get some points now.
Network isolation for backups, I think, is the...
Pulling out the cable, is that what you're saying, Christian? Now he left, you know, so... disconnecting it from internet, you know, or the network. We actually heard customer doing that. You know, you actually physically disconnect a copy of your data from the outside world. You know, it's a bit drastic and maybe a bit manual, but still, yeah.
Yeah, true. We were talking about tape and stuff, and if that was the new old thing, but yeah. Okay, so I have no idea what points we have. But that we've got an answer here. Ah, 0 points.
Zero points.
Answer. An attack. Yeah, apparently. Answer. An attack is no longer an isolated event taking place over a few days. Rather, it's now more proactive, and it takes place over a longer period of time. Threats across actors are enacting their attacks over weeks and months. This makes it even more difficult for an organization to recover once they realize they've been attacked.
I want to overrule that judgment. You know, I think that it's a bit unfair to give us zero on that one. But you know,
yeah, totally not okay.
No.
I agree. but apparently, focus on time of the attack was the thing here. And we were talking about backups and networking isolation and even deeper. Okay, we got a pat on the head from the quizmaster. But
yeah.
Yeah,
thank you. A bit patronizing, but okay.
Yeah.
Hi, everyone. During episode 10, Let's Talk Backup and Ransomware, we had a great chat about new threats and good ways to defend. I talked about the 3-2-1 rule. What is this rule?
Ooh, 3-2-1 rule with Rick Vanover.
Yeah, my friend Rick from Veeam, actually. I've been known him for years.
Yeah. I think, you know, before you can drink 3 drinks before 6 o'clock in the evening, and just another 2 drinks between 6 and 9, and just the final drink between 9 and midnight. You know, I think that's the 3-2-1 rule.
And not considering, you know, alcohol levels or
anything.
You
know, after 3 drinks, you know, you have to keep it simple. You know, I don't think you will remember, you know, too complicated. You know, you can have 2 of those and 3 of those and 4 or something else. You know, I'm not sure that's going to work, you know, but perhaps.
Nope.
Okay, cool.
Now,
I was in a band once, a metal band, and the drummer had I'd call it, you know, after 12 rule, which was drink whatever you want up till 12 o'clock in the night, and then you go on Red Bull vodka to keep on going. That was his rule.
I'm too old for that one. I stop at midnight, the latest. Yeah.
So I've been at quite a few Veeam parties at VMworld, and I don't think there is any 3-2-1 downscale rule on alcohol in those. So what Veeam is talking about is basically 3 copies of data, 2 different media types, and at least 1 copy offsite. That's the 3-2-1 rule.
Let's go with that.
Mm. Exactly.
Right. Nice.
Oh, we get 10 points.
Wow.
Amazing. Oh, cool. Thank you, Christian. You saved us there. Very important rule to know, actually.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which one? The one that Christian said, or my rule, or your rule? You know, we have 3 different rules.
I think everybody had a point there, but actually.
Well,
actually,
it's a very situational thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Next question.
Ho ho ho! I am freezing my socks off out there.
I hope you guys are much warmer in the studio. So, what would be the number one present that any CTO would like to receive this year under a Christmas tree? Well, we talked about that in episode 11. You know, containers in Kubernetes. Of course, that's it. So, and I made a statement, and you need to remember what I said. So, is key for the underlying infrastructure in order to take full advantage of a container platform. So, question is, what is? Merry Christmas! Bye-bye!
What the H? Total silence.
Okay. It was fun. I'm not sure I really picked up the question.
I got some help from the quizmaster here. The question is blank. So, is the key for the underlying infrastructure in order to take full advantage of a container platform.
Are we talking about
What is
The storage. Storage, of course. Or the data.
Underlying infrastructure. Container platform. Is key for the underlying infrastructure in order to take full advantage of a container platform.
Oh, okay. Is it automation? Probably.
You say automation?
Programmability, API, something like that, I think. I was probably in that podcast, I should know.
How many syllables is...
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like, automation. Orchestration, the same.
Automation, orchestration. What do you say, Christian? Do you have any other ideas?
No, I think I have to be honest, I haven't seen that episode yet. That was just a couple of days ago, right? So I wouldn't know what he said, actually. But again, the same thing goes with containers that goes with other modern kind of technologies. You need to be able to automate it and orchestrate it in order to get the same results every time and minimize human kind of error proneness in a way. So I'm guessing we're heading that way, but then again, it might be something else. I don't know.
Well, I think we're all leaning to the same answer, you know. So if it's wrong, we have to, you know.
But is it a hint? Something is key for the underlying infrastructure. Mm. So maybe it's networking.
I would go for maybe network storage, I think. I don't know. Oh, that's a tricky one. Is it the one I was part of, or is it another one?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Murky, you can say Pat. No, this is the one you haven't seen before. Okay.
Okay. I think everything we've said is important, but...
Yeah.
Let's pick one. Underlying infrastructure.
It depends on how deep you want to go. You can say electricity and get away with it, right?
Yeah, that's true.
That's a fair point.
Kind of important. True. Okay, so let's say, should we go with automation?
Yeah.
Is that the underlying infrastructure? Okay, we'd say we're going with automation.
Yeah.
Oh! We are apparently correct.
Oh!
Nice, Per. 10 points. Amazing.
Okay. Yes. I feel a little bit less embarrassed then.
Yeah, all the points go to Per, is what the quizmaster says.
Oh, okay, that was probably the first points in the whole session, so it's about time. Yeah, like I'm not embarrassed by wearing this. Yeah.
Well, neither am I. Apparently, that is all the questions, and I'd like to know a count of our points because I haven't kept track of that, being busy trying to. We got a bonus question here. What is the average length of a Let's Talk Data episode?
Without me.
Well, you're in like three or four of them.
Yeah,
so
okay, average. I think 47 and a half minutes.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm.
47.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking 47. 40, so yeah.
47,
yeah. Same here. Yes. 47 minutes and 30 seconds is our answer.
Yep.
Let's see. Drum roll. 52 minutes and 5 seconds was the
right answer. Okay.
Yeah. That's within the margin of error.
Almost.
Come on.
Yeah.
We get 800 points for that, apparently.
Really? Yeah. That's amazing. Can we keep our Christmas gifts or do we have to return them if you're too bad?
Well, I think so.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
so what can we exchange our points in?
I think we can exchange containers,
into... Containers, I think.
Okay. Yeah, amount of containers.
Mm-hmm. Yes, a lot of containers.
That we can spin up
in our
container platform. Then.
And also, I think we have to have an excuse to everyone we offended, or me specifically, everyone I offended during this call, you know. That's how it is.
Yeah.
Deal with it.
Exactly. Yes, thank you, Per. Thank you, Per, for that. Deal with the Per's comments. No, I don't think you offended too many people, actually. And I appreciate your
We should perhaps do a Let's Talk Data, Let's Offend Most People in IT episode at one point. We could do everyone.
True. Yes. Like a roast, a roasting of IT people.
We can do that. Storage admin, networking admin, virtualization guys like me, whatever. Bring it on.
Yeah. CTO. Yeah.
That would be fun.
Yeah, let's go.
CTO specifically. That should bring all the creativity out.
Yeah, and that'll be a long episode as well.
Indeed. All right. So. I mean, we've done the quiz. We've gathered 800 something points. I mean, I'm pretty proud of that for 10 questions with a maximum point number of 10. Mm. So well over my expectations. So, Christian, you know, before we end this episode, what's your thoughts of 2021? What was the coolest thing that happened in your world, so to speak? And what are you looking forward to in 2022?
Since I mainly work with virtualization and VMware stuff, a lot of 2021 was based around VMware, right? And it was really interesting to see that how VMware now almost does this Steve Ballmer impression, running around stage, calling out developers. Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah. Because they're talking about containers, microservices, and developer pipelines, and all of those things, and it's important for us as well as infrastructure people to actually acknowledge that that's the way some of the major players in the market are going.
Okay, that's a good takeaway. Interesting for the future as well. Per, anything you want to share?
Pick one. You know, there are so many, you know, good things happening. You know, certainly in my team and in the commercial team in the countries, but. I think I'm probably thinking along the same line as Christian, you know, because the application world is changing to containers, the application. It's, you know, the people and the power and the money is shifting inside our existing customers. And the whole infrastructure stack now is being evolving into something partly the same. Apart is something very different. So I'm super happy that we were able to add, you know, our new Conoa colleagues. I think they are bringing a lot of value already into Sweden, not just with their own business, but also, you know, the cross pollination with the Proact company in Sweden. But I also know that we are already having interactions with other countries as well, and I think perhaps even inspiring to some extent other countries, saying, you know, the world is shifting, you know, and I think we are in a very, very good position to help our customers in that shift, add value there. So I would probably pick that because it's such a fundamental shift on the application layer, on the infrastructure layer, and in the power and money inside customers. So it is a shift in many dimensions. So that's probably the most important one in a list of a lot of interesting things. You know, with the new generation of PHC, that we moved that one on. We have you know, put in place a very exciting portfolio around networking and leading out all the way to the edge. Going to scale out the security services out of the UK. We have evolution of our backup and disaster recovery portfolio. So there are a lot of things kind of happening at the same time. But if I'm going to pick one, it's probably going to be the containerization of applications and the impact it's having across a lot of customers. And I think a lot of things is going to be changing in a positive way for Proact if you make this one right. And I think we have a good start.
All right. Thank you very much, guys. Both things are very exciting that you've mentioned. Thank you for sharing. And I guess it's time to wrap this one up. I mean, it's Christmas time, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Got to celebrate with the family as well, so to speak.
Crystal, on the outside of your house, it's a bit like the, do you remember the old, what is it, 70s or 80s movie where the guy putting all the lights on outside his house, you know, and the whole city went dark when it turned on.
Just,
yeah.
Boom.
Yeah, exactly. Something like that.
Oh, well, power is cheap in the Nordics. We're lucky that way. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. All right. Hey, Merry Christmas to you both and to all our listeners, and a Happy New Year. Thank you for listening in over the last year. If you missed any episode, please check our past episodes that you've seen or heard snippets of in this one. If there's something that interests you, we tend to discuss stuff even deeper than in this episode. If this would happen to be the first episode you heard, this is an anomaly. But we can have fun.
this is, or we are.
Both.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yes.
All right. So thank you guys for showing up, for sharing this moment with me.
Thank you, Nico. Thank you, Christian. Thank you, everyone, for making this happen. Take care.
Thank you. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas, yeah.
Merry Christmas.